to another episode of the Master of One podcast, coming to you live from the Creative South, Book It.
Hey, this is Patrick Hill of Whiteboard.is, and you're listening to the Master of One podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Master of One podcast, coming to you live from The Bucket, the official Creative South radio. We're excited to talk to you today about some of the stuff that we've seen the past week and what's going on in TV, film, art design, and toys and games. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
Let's get this thing rolling. Kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Guys, we're sitting around a very real table.
Yeah.
Did you think that intro was too short?
In my mind, I thought it could have gone a couple more measures.
I was disappointed we didn't repeat the turnaround.
It's amazing what post production can do.
Yeah,
for that.
Absolutely.
The fadeaway, definitely. We are sitting around a very real table. We are live.
Yeah.
Broadcasting live right now from The Bucket. The official.
That's right.
The outtakes from that are so good.
Or bad. It depends on. Yeah, I guess it depends on your preference. We were creating. They're not drops, but they're.
They call them like station IDs.
For the radio
station.
You've
probably heard them today and already.
Yeah, if you're listening live, then you may have heard them already. But all we had to say was, "Hey, this is Andrew."
This is Patrick.
And Luke.
From the Master of One podcast, and you're listening to The Bucket, the official radio station of Creative South.
It's deep.
It took 2 hours.
You're not wrong. It took so many. I think you gave us five produced ones to choose from, yeah. But that's not even all of them.
No, there was another 20 minutes of gibberish.
Yeah, it was... But we did it perfect that time. Yeah. Maybe what we need is the
pressure.
Of a live broadcast. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. So here's what we do. We go around the table and we talk about stuff that's been going on in our weeks through the lens of pop culture or through the lens of just what our weeks look like. And so, Patrick,
sure. You're
sitting to the right of me.
So here's the thing. I've been trying to keep up with Barry this year. So Barry is a new show. It's in season one on HBO. It just premiered three and a half weeks ago.
Yep.
And it's a show about... a hitman, a very prolific hitman, who decides that he's looking for something different in his life, trying to find his purpose, uncover kind of like who he is, and he starts taking theater classes. Now, the twist on the show is that as he gets better at theater, he will get worse at being a hitman. Ultimately, the thing he loves will be the thing that kills him. And so I think it had a very strong premiere. And these are shorter episodes. These are 30-minute episodes, which most of the shows we're used to on HBO are an hour.
Yeah.
And a very strong premiere. And then the second episode, it felt like... It just felt like nothing happened. It felt like it was...
A filler or a setup episode. It was a setup.
Yeah, but it almost felt like it cut to commercial, but it just never came back.
Right.
we were in the middle of something. And so the third episode came out now. Have either of y'all been able to keep up with the show?
We did watch one when we were at Crop last week.
We did.
But we're not...
Not the... Third episode aired last Sunday. I'm on two.
Yeah,
I haven't watched the third yet.
So I'll say this. I am optimistic. Third episode was better for me than the second one. So we didn't really have that high that we got from the end of the first episode. Uh-huh. We haven't got back to that point because that scene was just really impactful. But we are starting to find out more. And as you would expect, we're finding out more about the characters, more about their backgrounds, those type of things.
Right.
And in the investigation that's going on, bringing in the police department, everything, we're starting to really feel some tension with what's going on. So I am still excited for the rest of the season. You know,
that's good.
If I had had a repeat of last week, then I think I would have been.
That's
you know.
So interesting because we talked about that. You gave us a preface to this to the second episode. And you didn't like it as much. Luke and I loved it.
We laughed a lot. We laughed out loud, and honestly, I laughed at the first episode, but I don't remember actually laughing as much as I did on the second one.
Do you like the Czech character?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
So, oh my gosh, this arm is bullshit.
I know him. So I know that actor from Gotham. He's in Gotham, and he plays a hitman in Gotham.
Yeah, but he plays a hard hitman.
Yeah,
in
he's way more serious. There's still like a comic tinge to his character, just because the show knows what it is, you know, a little bit. But it's not
it's
to the effect.
The shootout in the first episode, and I call it a shootout. It wasn't really a shootout,
sure.
But like,
yeah, just the climax of the first episode.
It was, yeah. And I guess I'm looking for more of that. But to be fair, it's meant to be a comedy,
right?
So it's funny that I said, "Oh, we're finally getting some tension," when what we're supposed to get is laughs.
Well, I think what you're having the reverse Breaking Bad. Because when Breaking Bad first started, it was intended to be a dark comedy, much like Barry is. And after the first couple of episodes, because that's why they cast Bryan Cranston. And
it just turned into a drama.
And after a couple of episodes, they realized that we're trying to force feed this thing that it's not. We need to let it become the thing that it's supposed to be.
Right.
And then it transitioned into one of the most acclaimed dramas in TV history. And I think you're feeling some of the, you want it to be a little bit more like Breaking Bad, but the reality is it's supposed to be like the original Breaking Bad.
Well,
it's a dark comedy.
Sure.
Right. And here's the thing. I'm still on board. And it sounds like you're on board too.
Oh, for sure.
I would definitely recommend the third episode, and I'm excited to see how this season plays out. And if anyone out there is listening, I mean, February, March, it's kind of like a show void. We're waiting for all these things to come back.
Show hole.
Yeah. But April 20th and after,
we got Westworld.
Just the floodgates open between Handmaid's Tale and Westworld, and we still have a freaking another year for it's fine.
I love that
it's
you
fine.
Said floodgates with Westworld because it's the sea time or sea world or whatever it's called.
It is?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, in the preview, they have water, so that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Do you remember the finale? Of the first season?
I think
it showed like the three other worlds.
It showed Samurai.
Well, it showed Samurai. I didn't see the other one.
There's like a wave on one of them. It's like a seaside world.
Two of the showrunners did an AMA on Reddit, and they mentioned glimpses into like some type of Roman world and the Samurai world.
So Samurai and Roman are from the original movie, Westworld, that the show is based on. But I didn't remember like a water world.
So let me. This is now. This
you remember water world. Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner
killed it in Waterworld.
Listen, y'all created this tangent. I want you to know this, but. And this hasn't happened yet, but these two showrunners of Westworld, they did an AMA on Reddit, and in it they said that we're really concerned about spoilers because it's not that people are intentional, but when people are trying to like pick apart what's happening in the show, they will reveal things that are actually going to happen, like they'll uncover the truth.
Sure.
And they said the problem is they feel like there's not enough of a barrier to they feel like it's too easy for people to stumble on truth and it ruin the experience. So they have actually said, now whether or not this will happen, but these two showrunners said they would do this, and they are actually from HBO, that they are going to post a video that is the spoilers for the season, like actually tells you this is what's going to happen. That way the people that want spoilers can just watch the video and leave everyone else alone.
That's a really
good
idea, actually.
As opposed to speculating.
And that speculation turning out to be true and accidentally ruining it, they want to just cordon it off and say, look, here's the thing. If you want to know, go over here and they'll tell you.
Otherwise, leave everybody alone.
Yeah. So, it's an interesting idea. Now, the issue is that speculation is part of the fun of it. trying to solve the puzzle. But I guess you could decide to still do that.
Sure.
But an interesting thought. Interesting thought. Well, who knows if they'll actually release it. I checked before I came down here, and they still haven't. They say they're going to post a video. They still haven't posted it yet. But
gotcha.
I thought what you were going to say, not to continue the tangent, but I thought what you were going to say is that they have that they were going to post like teaser information, that they were going to post whatever, like video of things, but it was specifically to.
Like mislead?
To mislead people. No. Like they would show stuff because they didn't want people to try to guess because of it.
I just thought it was a really interesting
idea. That is a very interesting idea.
And how they're sitting behind closed doors trying to solve the problem.
Right.
So Andrew, why don't you pick it up?
Okay, so we just got back. Oh my gosh, this week has been crazy town. I'm trying to think of even what
else you've done.
Yeah, what else I've done.
Wilsey's telling me that, so Wilsey's listening right now.
Hey, yeah. Will.
He's saying that he thinks they did post the video and it was just a Rickroll.
Oh.
But I haven't seen it yet, Will, so I might have just got fooled. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'm glad that you updated us on that.
Yeah.
This is the I just brushed it under the rug.
You just swipe like that.
I just love, delete.
That's the beauty of live broadcast. Yeah. Maybe we should, No.
No.
Never mind. I instantly cut off that rabbit trail. So it's just been travel. I mean, I've been reading a lot of books. I read through the entire Headlopper Volume 1. Volume 2 just came out last week, and I've been hunting for it. I've been to 3 different places in 2 different states. Luke just put on sunglasses like a cool dude.
I feel sweet. It's dark.
But I can't find Volume 2. It came out last week, but it's sold out everywhere. Oh, I know what I can talk about.
Yes, you can.
Okay, so... have you guys ever had Peeps, marshmallow Peeps?
Yes.
They're great.
Okay, they're not.
Black and white.
Wait.
Yes.
I'm in a hard stance. I don't like Peeps.
Really? I don't either. To be honest, I think they're gross.
I totally can.
Oh, for sure gross.
Up to, it's I have texture. A threshold of like 3. If I eat more than 3, then I'm total
anybody
down.
Anybody listening, if you want to tweet Master of One Pod, M of One Podcast, and tell us what
we'll
you
think. We'll do a live poll.
There's no taste.
Peeps, not tweets.
There's no taste. And it's like the marshmallow is like slightly grainy, but then you add on the glitter outside.
Yeah, and just eating
it's not
dirt.
Glitter.
It's
not sugar.
It's just sugar.
It's
just
sugar. It's like the sugar. Grainy plus the thicker grains, and it, gosh, it's so bad.
Not a fan. Not a fan.
You know what's funny about the whole thing is I was just saying that as a throwaway statement.
Nah, hard pass.
And now we're like,
I don't think you can just walk away from it, Andrew.
Okay, that's fine. I read Lumberjanes, the first volume of Lumberjanes. I purchased the second volume of Lumberjanes. What?
Sounded like you said Blubber James.
Blubber James.
Blubber James.
James.
Oh my gosh. Paper Girls, the first compendium.
Yep.
And then I got volumes 3 and 4, which I think will be in their own compendium later, but I got those and I'm going to read through those on this trip. So much good graphic novels and writing. It's really neat. I did learn, I'll save it. Never mind. Andrew McLean, who does Headlopper, has another story arc that he did.
Oh, nice.
And I think you'll dig it a lot. But I'll save it until I actually get it and read it, and I'll review it. But about 6 years ago, I saw a, maybe it was 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I saw a statue. It's like this maquette. DC puts out their, It's like one particular line. It's called the Batman Black and White, and it's just based on the Caped Crusader, and he's just the regular Batman, but it's seen through the eyes of different designers and comic book artists.
Right.
And so there's been tons. I own. Actually, don't own it anymore. I gave it to EJ, but I owned the Sean Galloway one.
Yep.
Which is great, very comic booky, almost cartoony. Cheeks Galloway, and I had that one. But the one that I wanted really bad, because I'm a huge Mignola fan. If anyone's listened for more than a half a second, they know I'm a huge Mignola fan.
Right.
He did one, and it's this beautiful cell shaded, like the paint job on it looks like it's one of Mignola's pieces of artwork, but it's three dimensional. And so they achieved that by painting chunky shadows into the actual sculpt. I should have had it here because
it's fine.
But it's fine. But I've been searching for it for years.
Ever since I've known you,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think, it was probably pretty early on from that point. Exactly. And I could not find it. I've looked all over. You can find it on the internet, but it's like super expensive, and I just have never pulled the trigger on it because of the cost or whatever. Fast forward about 5 years, six years, and rewind 2 days.
Right.
See what I'm saying here? This is forward and then back. Forward, then back. And then we were in this comic book shop, this unassuming comic book
shop. Or something like that, right?
Heroes Comics.
That sounds close. In Newman.
No, it was like comics... Tires and More or whatever. Like, it's like, what's the...
Is it Noonan, right?
It's called
it
Heroes, wasn't
Heroes
it?
Heroes Comics, I think, yeah.
I think it was Heroes Comics.
No, because it had like a whole, like, well, it's fine.
Heroes Comics place, and boxes and cardboard and...
and tables and lots of extra space. but we walked into this place because I was looking for Hidlopper.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of the this trade. I wanted the new trade. I wanted the volume 2. So we go in and the first thing I say is, hey, do you have this comic? And they say, no, we don't have it. It's been sold out, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So we're going and just looking through. They have games and they have comics. They have toys and that's all well and good. And we walk around this corner. Luke's leading.
Yeah.
Walks around this corner. He goes, hey, look, they have your black and white. And I walked around and saw, okay, they have like a bunch. There's a bunch now, by the way. Yeah. In the series, there's probably, I don't know, 40?
They like, maybe they more, like 20 on the shelf.
Yeah,
they like 20 on the shelf. I was like, yeah, but none of them are the Mignola. And I got halfway through Mignola. And
you really did.
There it was.
I was pointing.
There it was. Not only was there a brand new in the box Mike Mignola Batman black and white.
Yeah.
There were two of them.
They had another one right behind
right
it.
Right behind it.
6 years.
He couldn't find one.
It's been sitting on the shelf for 6 years.
Probably.
It's been sitting on the shelf since September of 19. September of.
September 19th.
Not September 19th. September of 2016.
Because it was marked down 9/16. It was marked down 30%. That was the other thing. You got a killer deal on it.
Nope. No, it wasn't marked down.
I thought you said they're normally 150.
When you buy them online.
Yeah. It wasn't retail has always been 100.
Retail has always been, yeah.
I don't understand. Wouldn't you just pay shipping?
No.
What do I not understand about this?
I don't understand what you don't understand.
What are you confused about?
Why people would in person it be 100 and online it be 150? Because
they don't sell it.
Because they, people don't sell it for retail.
Oh, you mean when people mark it up? You're saying resell?
Yes.
I thought you meant if you bought it from the company online.
No. You can't buy it from the company.
You meant resell.
Yes.
You can't buy it anymore. You. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So you it's 30% off. Resale.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. But it was there, and I was like, I mean, I have to buy this, right?
Yes, I'll take it, please.
It's like the, where you look for something and then you find it?
Treasure.
Okay, that's not, but yeah. It was like, what is it? It's like, it's your thing. Like, when you finally, it's your, not
grail.
Bucket list, but it's your,
the
it's
Holy
like
the Grail.
Holy Grail. Sure, whatever. It's that thing, right? And
it's
I have
an
it.
Item.
I got it, and I was like, I couldn't believe, and I even said to the guy, I was like, so I've been looking for this for years.
He's like, yeah, we have a lot of statues.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're not very
okay,
helpful
to me. You don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, anyway, so that was exciting. Luke, tell us about your week.
All right, I had a week. You know what, man? It was just travel. So I was way behind on movies. I have been behind both of you. Patrick is the master of TV and film. He's seen a whole bunch. Andrew seemingly has nothing else to do but go to movies.
That's pretty much it. That and read books.
I've missed stuff. I feel like for the last year, I've just been behind the curve. But I caught up on two films on all of my plane rides so far in the last like week and a half.
And you gang watched the entire series of Golden Girls.
Again.
Which is awesome.
Yes. Oh, man. Golden Girls. Jeez. The feels.
Golden Girls. Jeez.
Golden Girl cheese.
That's not a good marketable.
Let's not talk about it. Let's keep going. So I watched Battle of the Sexes.
Yes.
Which was...
Oh, I still haven't seen that.
Yeah.
With Steve Carell.
Yeah. With Steve Carell and
Emma Stone.
Yeah. And it's based on the story of Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs.
Mm-hmm.
And their exhibition match that was kind of like a turning point for women's sports and women's tennis, maybe. It was really good.
You know, my mom like watched that live on TV.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I believe you.
It's weird that you didn't know that his mom watched that. Well,
I don't remember if we
you
didn't.
Said it so just factual, just so nonchalant, like everyone knows this, right?
I didn't remember if we talked about this movie on the pod. I know I mentioned
you
it,
mentioned
but I don't
the
know
movie.
If we went
yeah.
into depth
no,
about it.
No, I don't
it.
Think you really talked about kind of what it was.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. It's a really good movie. The acting is great. The thing that I noticed, so at the end of the movie, since it's based on a true story, they showed, they told a little bit of story of what happened to those characters after the movie in real life, and then it showed some shots of those people. It was amazing how much likeness or how close in likeness they got to the actual people portrayed, the actual
the
people.
Non-actors.
The non-actors. Right, yeah, right, yeah. Right, right. It was really good. Like, Steve Carell's Bobby Riggs was, it just felt really, really close. But the movie's good. Then the other movie that I was able to watch was The Shape of Water.
Yeah.
So I missed that in the theater.
Did you cry?
I did not cry.
Man.
I feel like I would have cried. Here's the reason I didn't cry is I had to watch it in two sittings. I had to watch it from Ohio to Atlanta and then to Baton Rouge to finish. So that's it was great, cut in half. So I kind of missed a little bit of the... And on a plane, they always cut out and kind of edit it for TV a little bit. So it didn't feel... Like some of the language was changed and some of the other stuff maybe was changed. But man, the visuals on that, from watching it, on my phone, the visuals were amazing. I am definitely going to try and grab it and watch it at home. Really good story. The, who is the main actor, the bad guy? What was his, what's the actor's name?
Michael Shannon. Michael Shannon, yeah.
I don't know how I knew that, but.
I mean, he was a bad dude.
He's a villain. Like
he was like
Winnie the.
Yes.
Oh my. Ooh. And he's standing in the home or whatever.
And it's so just many the parts. He squeezes it and the stuff comes out.
Y'all can't see the motion I just did, but there's a painful moment.
Go watch this back on YouTube next week, and you'll
still
see
fresh
Patrick.
Enough, I don't want to.
Patrick's vomiting presently.
But no, the movie was great, and so it was cool to catch up on some of those movies. There was another one that I'm gonna try and watch on the way home after this weekend, but
Geostorm.
I can't remember. Yes, actually, yes.
The funny thing is, gosh. I watched it on a plane too, which is
it's
weird.
It's not a movie
watch.
I want
to
see, but it's one that.
Here's what's funny about it.
I do want to see it, but it's not like
let
I would
me tell you
pick
about
it.
This. Let me tell you about this. I got to see the first like 45 minutes on a plane.
Okay.
And in it, by the way, it is kind of weird watching movies where at some point plane falls out of the sky when you're in a plane. It's
like
eating while you're pooping. I don't know. It's just so.
You're
anyway,
welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
It's like you're Turd Ferguson.
It's a funny name. Turd Ferguson.
So anyway, but I watched like the first 45 minutes and I recognize it's not a great film. And at the same time, I like so bought into the premise of the movie.
Sure.
Like I was totally in on like the mystery element, everything. So much so that I went home and rented it off iTunes so I could finish the film.
Wow.
Nice.
It was garbage. But I totally condone
I'm
watching it.
I'm totally excited to watch it. So yeah.
I'm just thinking about all the other ways in which you could have spent that money. That's what I'm hung up on. Okay, so is that it for your round the table?
Yeah, we should hit an ad and then we'll come back.
Let's hit an ad. It's time for our master categories. If you were with us live just a few moments ago, Brian Manley helped us pick our categories. So this is fresh information. We haven't had time to prep this like we would typically would on a normal week, but we're gonna make this thing happen because that's what we do, right? We're the masters. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Man, so we're just gonna kick things off. Luke, what did you? So each week we get our tokens that give us our category. And those are handed to us randomly. Then we pick our topic based on those categories.
Everything you're saying is true.
Yeah. So what'd you get?
I got toys and games, and so I am the master of this. This is my namesake on the show. I have been playing a whole bunch of board games, and the one lately I mentioned on the show, Wasteland Express delivery service, and so
it's
I talked
Mad
a little
Max
bit.
Kind of
setup. Yeah, it's kind of like the post-apocalyptic. You play a driver for this delivery service, and you have to go around the board and deliver food, water, ammunition to different outposts. I've played it a couple times now, and that game is just so good. The replay is very high because the game is random enough that you can't really plan and have a set strategy every game because different things happen. There are events that happen. So that game's great. If you like a more in-depth board game with a whole bunch of pieces and a really fun theme, Wasteland Express delivery service will get that for you. The other game that I hadn't played in a really long time and I just revisited the other night is Dead of Winter. Did we play that together?
I haven't played it with you, but I'm pretty sure you talked about it on the show.
I talked about it a long time ago.
Like a year and a half ago.
And I hadn't played it for a while. I played it, you know, plenty of times when it first came out, when I first discovered it. Sat on the shelf. Some new people had never played it. We sat down to play it. Man, that game is really good. So what it is you play, it's a cooperative game. Everybody is part of this outpost. And what you have to do is you have a round counter. You start with a scenario in the game. So the starting scenario is you have to kill an X amount of zombies and you get a certain amount of points to research them. And yeah. By the end of the round tracker, if you have that amount of samples, you win the game. And there's a morale tracker. So as things happen in the game, you have to forage for food. You have this board. It's kind of a board. You have a colony, and then you have these other remote places like the gas station, school, hospital, police station, library, these different places where you have to go and try and find different items.
Whether it's like zombies?
Yeah, so it's okay. It's all set in zombies, but it's set in winter.
No. I mean the game Zombies, like with the three exclamation points. Yes,
it's kind of like that game. Okay. It's slightly different, though.
Okay.
And so you go and you have to find these things based on different... You have a main objective, but then every round... So the game goes around. Every round, you have a different thing you need to find. Maybe you need to find medicine or gasoline or food or tools or different things. And so you're all working together to accomplish this. Now, every time you go out or kill a zombie, you have to roll for exposure. So maybe you'll get bitten is the idea. So that happens. And when we played the game last time, we made it all the way to the end. The other thing that happens is everybody gets a secret objective too. So you have if you make it through the main objective together, you win. But if you complete your secret objective, you double win the game. You know, so you and sometimes there is a betrayer, somebody that's against the group. In the game we played, we didn't have a betrayer, but. A guy was trying to complete his secret objective, and we were on the very last turn. We had one morale left because we had missed a couple things and some people had died. He needed to get back to the outpost to build a barricade to complete his third barricade to win his secret objective. So he took a character back, did it, and then he was like, well, I have an extra turn. I have an extra die of ability that I can do. I'll just bring this other guy back and kill a zombie. When you travel in the game, you have to roll for exposure. Traveled, no problem. Killed the zombie, had to roll for exposure again. He got bitten, which means he dies instantly. And then it spreads to the next person with the lowest influence in the colony. That person died. Then that person died.
No.
And once one person dies, you move the morale down. And we were already at one. So he died, morale to zero, we lost the game.
Oh my gosh.
And we were on the last turn, bro. We would have won.
And why
you
did he
can
do
see
it? So why
everybody's
did he do it?
Hearts. Because he was just using an extra ability that had left over. He didn't really have anything to do with it, so he's like, I'll just do this.
What's that guy's name?
Nick.
Way to go, Nick.
I know. He already felt bad enough about it.
Shame.
His newt is
shame.
They say
lick
his
newt.
I don't want to say the phrase lick his newt.
All right, you did it.
Nick is shoot. It's fine. Move on. Nick is shoot. This is live.
Nope.
This is broadcast.
Nick is shoot. Anyway, Dead of Winter.
Did you mean to say lick?
I was trying to say lick is Nick and Luke mixed together.
Oh, yeah,
that's
you're
a
right.
hard sense
okay.
to say.
Because Nick and Luke mixed together.
Okay, well, after I've said it.
Anyway, the game is really good. If you like cooperative games, if you like zombies, if you like kind of this... theming, you'll really like that. They have an expansion for it that adds some new locations and other tools. That's really good. Just buy board games and play board games.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down
to. Except, to be fair, Luke is a freak.
Okay.
And I feel like you don't get the full enjoyment out of board games because you don't have to spend the several hours reading the directions.
Is that the enjoyment?
Like, you never get as much play time as everyone else because you just immediately understand how the game works. So I feel like you're just not getting your money's worth.
No, that's get all. To play just more of the actual game, which is fun.
I wish everybody was like Luke. That's the problem. Why? Okay. Only in this.
No, I don't like getting destroyed.
Thanks for clarifying, Andrew.
Well, because when we crack open a box for the first time, you have this like feeling of, have a chance.
There's only so many mechanics, though.
I know that, but like I am stupid for always thinking I might have a chance, and destroyed. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So on that note, before you toss it over to me,
you. Yeah, sure.
We haven't played a game yet. We've been together now for almost 56
hours. If you are here at Creative South and you're listening, we have two board games that I brought that we should play at some point.
Well, we've been running at the Marriott. Super- Like
Lickanute and Backgroin. That's two new games.
It's two. You don't want to play them. They're both bad. But I think we've been running so fast and so hard since we've been here. We've been doing, going.
Right.
Once we're done with this broadcast, it's kind of like we can chill for a little bit before we jump back into the thick of it tomorrow, which is
tomorrow.
Awesome. Great. Which is 24 hours from now.
you can find those games on Amazon or your local game store and play them. Andrew.
Yeah. So I'm going to make this real quick. So I got the TV and film, which, like I said, I've been seeing a lot of movies, and I've talked about them all on the show. Here's a show I've been watching that I haven't mentioned yet, and I've talked to you guys about it like briefly. I think I've just mentioned that I've been watching it, but I haven't really said much about it.
Okay.
It's not new. I think it's on its fifth season, but Transparent.
Yes.
And it's Jeffrey Tambor, and it's an Amazon Prime original show, and
that's the only person I know from the show is Jeffrey Tambor.
It's not, though. So, like, in later seasons, maybe maybe Funke is on the show.
Not Anne.
The lady, I'm blanking on her name right now. I don't have my computer in front of me. But the lady who plays Angela
from The Office.
Nope.
Okay, not Angela.
Angela from Who's the Boss?
Oh.
Is Jeffrey Tambor's wife.
Yes.
So they're already separated by the time that the show starts. And if you're unfamiliar with this, his character is a transgendered man who is born a man and is treated like a man his whole life, and then into his 50s decides to come out and come out as a female, and he resonates as he sees himself as a female. He has, what's the word I'm looking for? It's transgender, but he's
Identifies.
He identifies as a female, and it's him coming out to his friends and his family, who he has like three adult children who also have families, and it's the dichotomy of what happens when everything changes.
Sure.
And you stop calling dad, you have to start calling dad mom. Mm-hmm. And then you have two moms and just that whole thing. There's certainly elements of it that are fun. There's certainly elements of it that are heartbreaking. But for the most part, it is a very, very enlightening TV show, and
tons of nominations, tons of wins.
It's highly, highly acclaimed, and for being a white guy who grew up in a Baptist family, a lot of this stuff is new for me. You know, it's stuff that I've never had to kind of deal with on that level, and it's so intriguing, and it's just beautifully shot, and the story is beautifully told, and it is so refreshing in a lot of ways to be able to see this and feel like, because my family is messed up in so many other ways. This isn't particularly the thing that we've ever had to deal with, but we are like screwed up in all the other ways. And to see that family dynamic and see how the family reacts initially and then how they come back together and how this becomes the norm and how they love each other through this stuff and all the ins and outs and the shakes of that. It's so, so good. It's hard to turn it off when
how
you're watching it.
How far into the show are you so far?
Season three, so I've got...
Oh, because there's four seasons right now.
I think there's five, right?
Well, so they're releasing a fifth, but the thing is Jeffrey Tambor's not going to be in the fifth.
Okay, so the four seasons... I accidentally... the first four episodes I watched were... of season four, like the current season.
Oops.
I didn't realize. I'm like, man, this seems like everyone's okay with this. Like it didn't seem like it was. That sounded
was,
bad. That sounded bad.
No, but
like,
it
seemed
no
like everyone had already accepted this as a reality,
sure.
Right? At least in terms of the family dynamic.
Yeah, and what you had known like, of the show was like not clicking.
Right. I'm like, this doesn't feel right. And then I'm like, oh, that's why, because I'm missing three full seasons of content.
Sure.
So I'm just started the season three before we started traveling and everything, but man, it's really, really good. So,
and that's Amazon, correct?
It's Amazon. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch the show.
They've been killing it, man.
Yeah. All right, Patrick, take us home.
Yeah, absolutely. So, art and design, my favorite. I actually have two things I want to mention.
Can
so,
I tell you something?
What's that?
I almost called you Buckaroo Jensen. I had no reason to, because it's not even a thing that we've like.
Have
referenced.
You ever
Buckaroo
heard the phrase
Jensen.
Buckaroo
Jensen?
Like, I was gonna say that's up to you, Buckaroo Jensen. And I'm like, I'm glad I didn't. But
I like
I feel
it.
Like I need to acknowledge.
No, I like that. There's actually two things I want to mention. So the first, I want to mention the podcast family for just a second. We have a so we'll see. We actually just mentioned him on this show, so it's kind of funny that happened.
He's listening right now.
Wilsey's listening right now, probably. Wilsey's been a part of the family for a while.
Yeah.
And just awesome guy. We've actually had him on the show during our poster episode, and we've talked to him a lot, and he's informed a lot of the discussion even behind the scenes. Wilsey just got hitched. Is that the term?
Yeah.
He's full on hot.
He was just made an honest man.
If you have been hitched,
are you
hotched?
You're hotched. So he is now hotched. But what's very cool, we have somebody else in our community, Arsenal Handicraft, which is Dennis and... I should have said names.
I would have known it until you said it, and now I can't think of it.
Well, it's Dennis and one other person. But we've had
it's
our,
a husband and wife.
It's
group.
A husband and wife, right. And we've had them on the show before as well. So you can find that in the archive at moonpodcast.com/archive. And but they did an
Master
incredible invite for the wedding. So what they actually did is that it is it's like a night sky, and you see this, and I'm sure it's actually a landmark, the building. I just don't know what the landmark is. But it's a night sky, stars out, and there's this writing. It's the I Love You to the Moon and Back, correct? Is that the writing?
Yeah.
The script that's above it. And then you see just the silhouettes of two people standing over in this kind of building slightly in the distance, and almost like this like little stage area. And the script is actually done by his wife.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm not saying names because I'm trying to protect her identity. Wilsey, you're welcome.
Yeah.
She's in witness protection program.
Yeah. Except now she's married to Wilsey, so that's... not great. I mean, now we've
if
said
you're
everything.
Trying to be, yeah, okay. But the script is done by her, and then obviously Arsenal did the print. There's a regular, there's a variant, there's the
man and woman are them.
I know that.
Yeah, okay. Well, you said man and woman, like say it's Will and his wife who were at the
I
time
just thought
a fiance.
People could infer that piece of it.
The element of like personality or personal touch to it, I think it needs to be
okay,
said.
Okay, no, it's them, but it's very much so in the Arsenal style. Like if you've seen the Arsenal any of the Arsenal prints before, then this definitely lines up with that. It's just a beautiful, beautiful print. And those went out as favors to everybody that's in the wedding. They got a copy of the print, like a smaller size.
Like a 5x7 or something.
And then
like that.
He has a larger size as well. And again, there's a variant that I think it has like a glow in the dark layer and that kind of stuff.
Gosh, the glow in the dark layer is great.
Yeah.
I'm consistently.
Which is like Arsenal's thing,
right?
Like
I'm consistently amazed with what they do.
Yeah.
Which is weird because you think you'd get used to it, right? Because that's their thing. But they tend to find new ways to intrigue me with their artwork.
It's Dennis and Christina.
Christina,
I'm sorry, Christina. It's fine.
Because they do the glow in the dark with like a light touch. you know, it's like the campfire where only the fire glowed. Mm-hmm. So they're not like overdoing it. I think that's what makes it nice. So anyway, that's an awesome piece. And just knowing that Wilsey's in the channel, knowing that Dennis and Christina Arsenal, they're in the channel. It's like something happening in the family, and that feels really cool. So his wedding actually lined up with Crop, so we didn't get to go.
I know. I mean, looking forward to it because I've never been to Baltimore.
So it lined up with Crop. We wanted to go. We weren't able to.
Did you send an RSVP? Did you send an RSVP?
I contacted him. I had it in my car to send.
We let him know. We messaged him.
Okay.
And I forgot, like, it got buried in my car. And I never sent it, but I sent him a message.
Okay.
And
cool. I was going to ask.
You sent one.
I did. Yeah. Okay. I filled it out and the reason did a sad
I did also.
The reason okay. I was silent is because Mackenzie could have. I just don't handle that in my life. Like, Mackenzie.
Oh, you have a person for that.
Yeah.
Cool.
she just knows that if she doesn't, it won't happen. So she handles a lot of things that are so social in nature.
Yeah.
And
socially
I just don't
things.
Know about them. So yeah. Anyway, that's one thing. So the second thing I want to talk about is more of physical design, but this lines up with the talk that we heard from Draplin when we were at Pop-Up Crop, and it's what I want to relate it to. Unfortunately, I was in the hospital, not me, but a close family member, well, my dad, was in the hospital for a week and a half or so, and so I was in there with him. And one thing I noticed, so he was in what is considered like a state-of-the-art hospital. Maybe, you know, the building is older, but all the equipment is just considered like the best you can get right now. And he kept like the you know, you have the tubes that go to like the saline and like the medicine and all that kind of stuff, like morphine and stuff like that. They all kept getting tangled and it was driving me crazy. I had to watch two different nurses come in there and like unplug stuff and untangle and replug in and whatever. And it just hit me, like, why isn't there some type of like plastic channel, right, that has like four channels that are color coded that you could lay the tubes in, snap it closed, and now they're labeled. Now you know where they go to. You don't have to like trace them back and do all that kind of stuff. Now, my point is that might totally exist.
Why don't they just use different colored tubes in general?
Yeah, Patrick.
I don't have an answer for it. And my point isn't that. My point is to say a lot of you people listening are designers or you're creatives. Like, you have the ability to make stuff. You have the ability to think outside the box. You have the ability to like take a problem, pull it apart, turn it around, put it back together. Awesome. Use that in your everyday stuff. The talk that Draplin gave when we were at Pop-Up Crop, a big piece of that was, you know, he talked about his shelves, which sounds like a funny thing to talk about, but he said there wasn't a solution for me. And so what I did is I just made the solution.
I'm a problem solver. Yes. That's what designers are. They're problem
solvers.
And
I can take my design and I can apply it to shelves in the same way I can take it and apply it to someone's birthday card, or I can take it and apply whatever. I don't have to wait for someone else to do it, and I don't have to relegate my design to only logos or only layout on this piece. I can apply the concepts of layout to solving an engineering problem or whatever it is. So my urge with this is just to say, if you're listening, look for those problems in everyday life that may be outside the bounds of what you consider graphic design or consider typography, but look for those opportunities to put together a solution, to solve a problem, and to better this space that we all share.
Sure. Yeah.
So
listen to Vanilla Ice and heed his advice.
He'll solve it. Yeah.
Because we'll check out the hook while the DJ, that's us,
and revolves
right now,
it.
And revolves in. What is a revolves in?
We don't know.
Absolvent.
Absolves us. Absolves us.
So no, that's it. That is my thing for today.
I think that's great. So, man, this has been a pretty
new create. You know, some sort of design for tubing for hospitals and sell it and make tons of money just with finder's fee. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hospitals will probably pay $1,000 a piece. I mean, they overpay for everything.
Right. You can contribute to patreon.com/mobilepodcast. Yeah. And that's super, super helpful. So we're going to wrap up this portion of the live broadcast, which means that's the end of this recorded episode.
Yes.
Man, you can find us on, I was going to say Facebook. I mean, we're on Facebook, but like, why lead with Facebook? You can find this on all the different social platforms.
Is it like in style to delete Facebook right now?
It is, kind of, yes.
Is it real? Oh, yeah. Because in solidarity.
Because privates.
Yeah. That's live. We're live.
Privacy.
Yeah, so we're on all the different social platforms. You can find us at M of One Podcast. It's pretty simple. We're
dot
anywhere.
Com, not like dot biz.
Oh, you meant
on
the socials.
Yeah,
we'll get there together.
Thank you.
I like this.
At M of One Podcast.
At
everywhere.
M of One Podcast.
.co.uk.
Yep, but that won't get you anywhere. You'll just get an FOF page. 404 page. Because 4 starts with F, is why. Oh, brother. I just became painfully aware of how live this is. Like, I'm like, I almost had to loop this cut is, that.
I was going to say, this is the part of the show where Andrew would say, cut that.
Yeah, we'll start that over again. You can find us on the web at mofonepodcast.com, where you can find show notes and links to all of the stuff in our episodes, in our podcasts. If you are new to the show or you're listening to this because of Creative South, there is an archive full of incredible people. A lot of the people that you've seen on stage here at Creative South have sat in the chair with us and chatted with us and given us their time. Man, they are there's so much in there. So just go to mofonepodcast.com/archive to see all of that stuff. We've had a blast at Creative South so far, and we've just gotten started. We can't wait to see what the rest of this thing has to offer. We are on a new platform, so if you want to join our family channel, join the conversation there. We've been on Slack for a long time, and if you missed it, we are now, we've shifted over to Discord.
Yes.
But you don't have to worry about knowing any of that stuff. Just go to mofonepodcast.com/family to join the conversation with hundreds of other creatives just like you, or maybe not like you, but people you want to be like. I don't know. But there's artists from all over the world, designers, creatives from all over the world doing all sorts of really incredible and talented things inside that channel, so you can ask questions and dialogue. And I mean, who wouldn't want to wake up early in the morning and text Luke? You know,
that's
what I want to do. And so you can do that. So just go to mofonepodcast.com/family and you can be a part of that conversation. After that, I think that's all.
Yeah.
Right. You can find us personally. I'm at Andrew Sale with threes instead of E's on all the different platforms.
I'm at M of One Podcast. I mean, I listen, I have personal. It's the great Pads B. That's with 2 A's on Instagram exclusively.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm Luke Gaul, G-A-U-L, on everything.
Except for Twitch.
Twitch is M of One_Luke.
Yeah. Okay. So that's us. We're going to get out of this episode. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Luke.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.